Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
It is NBA draft lottery night, both in the NBA and that waitingfornextyear.com. So it is another waitingfornextyear.com podcast brought to you by the Evergreen Podcast Network. I'm your host, Josh Blowout, with you again on the Cavs Cast with Seth Wanamaker and every other week kind of thing in the offseason. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Unfortunately, NBA draft night wasn't as exciting for us Cavaliers fans as we were hoping, even in the 2.6% chance, I think it was, of them knocking in the 14th pick and jumping in the top four. But it was a very quick NBA draft lottery show for the Cavs fans, at least. They were called first. They're going to get the 14th pick. So we're here another week, another Cavs Cast. We're going to talk NBA draft lottery a little bit, NBA draft. We haven't really gotten into some of the prospects, so we'll talk about what mock drafts have right now, but not really talk too much specifically. NBA playoffs, how exciting they've been now that we're in the conference finals that start tonight. Seth, how are you? What do you think of the NBA draft lottery, even though it wasn't exciting, and just how are things?
Yeah, we were hoping to come on this show with some fireworks coming fresh off the draft lottery. Odds were not with us, so this is one of the few years it feels like the basketball gods were not with Cleveland Cavaliers fans. I'm doing great. I'm excited. Obviously, it would have been great to jump up to the top four, but it's nice to know now. Just I think it gives everyone an opportunity to say, okay, here are some players that will likely be at this spot, and it really lets us dive in. So I'm excited, man. It's been great watching playoff basketball, and it's making me think about some additional pieces, you know, this Cavs team needs to add. So I'm excited, and I'm ready to talk off season.
Yeah, I mean, if the playoffs have proven anything, I think, like, we've talked multiple times about what the Cavs need to reach the next level, but I think the playoffs have proven yet again what the Cavs need. I know we can talk about it even more. It's a 3-and-D win, another playmaker, more three-point shooters and shot creators. Just, I mean, Boston has, I hate to say it, but the Celtics look really good, even though they've been hit with COVID with Al Horford and Marcus Smart's hurt tonight. They're both out tonight in Miami. But just like teams like Miami, even Milwaukee, even though they're out, just them being able to do what they did without Chris Middleton. Then you have Dallas, who Luka Doncic, I mean, they're without Tim Hardaway, and they are not missing a beat, whether it's Luka, Jalen Brunson, I mean, Finney Smith. It's just, and then Golden State, obviously we know who Golden State is, even with Jordan Poole. So yeah, this cat, and the future is certainly bright for the Cavs, but they definitely need a little bit more work in the draft pool. And I don't think it'll be tough to get like an immediate starter with a 14th pick. The chances are slim, at least like historically, but you can still get a solid contributor and role player, which is what I'm excited about. So, and hopefully this is the last time that the Cavs are in the lottery for a while. I hope this is like no more getting excited about the draft lottery for at least 5 years, please.
Yeah, when the Cavs make the playoffs next year, they'll be surrendering their first round pick to the Indiana Pacers. So that Caris LeVert deal is still intact for next year. So they have to consider that. And yeah, I think the one thing I've taken away from this playoffs is, you know, coaches have always been good at this, but man, they are just attacking. When there's a weak defender out there, a lot of teams don't have seven like switchable guys who are solid or better at defense. And so this playoff series, man, Grayson Allen just got, you know, attacked so hard last series against the Boston Celtics. Chris Paul to a degree, even though it sounds like he had a quad injury. You know, these guys that are average to above average on offense but subpar on defense are just getting absolutely sniped in the playoffs. So yeah, feed me, like you said early on, feed me one of those 3-and-D guys. You just rattled off a bunch of Dallas Maverick guys that they're role players, but they're at least average, if not better, at defense. And man, that's exactly what you want. Like a Reggie Bullock type on this team would be stellar. So yeah, man, that's one thing that's drilled home to me throughout these playoffs is, you know, good, adequate wing players. And I know that's something that we're going to be researching a lot, and I'm excited to get into some of these guys, you know, over the next couple of weeks to see who they're going to be targeting and who might be there.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of Dallas, I mean, Luka obviously is on another. He was on another planet in Phoenix on Sunday night. They were up like 46 in the third quarter. But Dallas, besides Luka, who has been playing incredibly, they have role player. I know this sounds cliche, but they have role players that have perfected their role. If that makes sense. I mean, Jalen Brunson has come out of nowhere. He's going to get paid a ton of money this offseason. I'm sure Dallas regrets not giving him that much smaller extension last offseason. He bet on himself because Dallas wasn't giving him enough, and now he's going to have a huge payday in a couple of months. Then you have Finney Smith. I mean, he's a perfect 3-and-D. He would look. Man, if the Cavs could somehow find like a Finney Smith type this offseason, please give it to me because he would be the perfect fit for this Cavs team. 3-and-D wing that can knock down a three, sometimes great for himself. He has length. I mean, he's literally the perfect fit for this Cavs team. But I don't know. The offseason hasn't even started yet, even though the Cavs have been eliminated for what seems like freaking months now. It's probably only been like four-ish weeks, five at the most. So we have 5 weeks and 2 days till the draft. So I'm just excited just to see what Kobe Altman has in his bag, whether it's the draft, whether it's the offseason and potential trades or free agent signings or what. He has to take advantage of Darius Garland and Evan Mobley being on rookie contracts. Even though Darius will likely get an extension, it won't kick in until I think after this season. So just I'm excited for what Kobe Altman, Mike Gansey, and just the rest of the front office has in store for this offseason.
Yeah, are they going to look at this pick? And I'm sure it depends on who's going to be there and how much they like the player. But you know, there are some very tradable type contracts on the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. And so, is the 14th pick good enough for the Cavs to package that pick and another player for, you know, a rotation worthy player right now? Do the Cavs think they're that close to make that kind of move, or are they still in that mode of, hey, let's add, you know, another young guy, take another swing? To your point, this might be the last time, hopefully it's the last time they're in the lottery for a long time, so maybe they take another crack at it. It's gonna be very interesting to see, you know, and I'm sure it's gonna be based on the player that's there, but you know, what type of, how far along are they, and how are they viewing this asset? Is it let's get one more young guy in here, top 14 pick, and or hey, we know we need some guys. Like last year proved in the play-in games that they need some playable guys on the wing. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Kobe does with that pick and you know who they select.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about 2 weeks ago. There's the Cavs have a lot of young players. We both know that. We all know that. But is it really worth trading the 14th pick for a guy that's going to take up more salary cap when you have Darius Garland coming out for this big extension? I mean, I know it's only year one, just concluded year one for Evan Mobley, but he's going to need an extension here in like 3-4 years. I don't know if you want to think that far in advance yet.
It comes fast, though, doesn't it? Yeah, it comes fast.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Jared Allen on the hook for 5 years, $100 million. I'm not saying that's not worth it because that is underpaid for him. But there's a point where you're spending too much money and you need those younger guys and you need those rookie contracts. So I just hope the right guy falls on the 14, the right – I know we were discussing it in our Discord today, and Chris Fudor tweeted about it too. I don't know if it's with a 14th pick and where the Cavs stand currently, do you pick best available or do you pick a guy that fits the system? Or like, or do you just, no matter what, pick the best forward / win available, no matter who it is, whether it's a reach, whatever. I guess we have 5 weeks to discuss this, but it'll just be very interesting to see what Kobe and company does with that, because a lot of times in the NBA, you want to pick best available because you want to have – if you don't have a superstar, then you're not going to win anything, let's be honest. But with the way the Cavs are, I feel like they have to pick that 3-and-D win guy that – I mean, we all want Isaac Okoro to be that guy, but I don't know if he is. And then, and then you brought it up too. It'll be interesting to see if they make any trades. You have Caris LeVert, who's entering the final year of his contract. Kevin Love entering the final year, which I truly think Kevin Love is going to retire a Cav. They'll probably keep him around this year, and then he'll sign a very, not a team-friendly extension, but a very much cheaper extension after this year. But then you have, like, you could package up Lauri Markkanen and Karras for someone, or Lauri do a Colin Sexton sign and trade because he's a restricted free agent and package him. It'll just be and very, I know we've been preaching this every podcast we do, it seems like, but it'll just be a very interesting offseason because it doesn't seem like the Cavs have many assets. But when you think about it, they actually do, because besides the core, I mean, I guess you could trade Okoro, Markkanen, LeVert, and Sexton. Those are four tradable pieces that another team might really like.
And all good pieces, right? I mean, yeah, all decent, good pieces.
And we like the Tower City thing with the 3 7-footers in the lineup. That was cool in the regular season, but a team like Atlanta in the play-in tournament took advantage of it. You can't have 3 7-footers out there at the same time. There's the find the mismatch. I mean, as we go deeper in the playoffs, a team like Boston, because I'm watching Boston highlights right now, a team like Boston is going to find the mismatch, whether it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I mean, Grant Williams has come out of nowhere. He's somehow like guarding Giannis and draining threes as a 6'6 center. I just don't know if it was a cool subject, I guess you'd say. It was a cool talking point having 3 7-footers. But for the long term of this team, and when we're talking playoffs, which is obviously what we need to talk about with the Cavs now, I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think you can have 3 7-footers. I don't think you can have Lauri playing the three and guarding a three, and they can just easily find mismatches like Trae Young and Atlanta. I don't think that's sustainable. So I truly think that Lauri, Markkanen will be traded this offseason.
Yeah, that's one thing we've seen throughout this playoffs is a lot of teams have been playing five out. And I mean, look how small the Mavs have been playing with Kleber. I mean, he's not known for his defense. He's not known for his rebounding, but that's how they beat the Phoenix Suns. One lineup, I think that would make a lot of sense at some point if they had to, you know, if they're in that playoff mode, would be like a Lauri and Mobley 4-5 combination. If, you know, if you had to go kind of small and wanted to take Allen off the court, I don't love the idea of taking Allen off the court, but if the other team dictates it, you know, you got to be flexible, right?
I also think it's funny how you say go small and the Cavs will still have 2 7-footers on the
court. Right. Maybe skinny is the better word. They'll go more lean. But I really like the point that you brought up about best player available. You know, the Cavs were decimated by injuries, so I'm probably being more sensitive to this than I should be right now. But there was a lack of rotation worthy depth this year, and I know they were decimated far more than most teams. But like backup point guard was a huge hole this year after Rubio went down, and the Cavs. I mean, we saw those games. You're not going to win games. You know, playing Darius Garland 48 minutes a night, you have to have some type of backup initiator, backup center to a degree. Like I know that they can add value pretty much anywhere. And, you know, I'm under the notion that a wing player at 14, a franchise changing wing player is tough to find, right? It's a lottery ball, basically. I'm under the notion that to get one, it's hard to get a wing player. It's hard to trade for one because no one wants to give a wing player up. But to your point, Josh, the Cavs do have some really interesting assets, all their future picks, multiple second round picks, certain years. They've got some really good young players. I think if there's a team out there, you know, if there's like a Beal or if there's other guys of that elk where the team just, you know, waves the white flag at some point, the Cavs have got to be one of those teams where they've got some good young guys and some picks. So I think that's where I could foresee. That's why I wouldn't stop my foot and say they have to go wing at 14. Cause I think there's, you know, Kobe's been aggressive. I think there's trades out there. Maybe it's not of that elk, of course, like no one wants to get rid of Beal or Mitchell or any of those guys, but I think there's a way that the Cavs can acquire those wings. Because I think they just need to get better all the way around. I don't think it's wing or bust. I think they just need to keep adding talent at this point.
I like how you included Donovan Mitchell in that little they don't have to go out and get him subject.
I had to throw his name in. I know we talked about a little controversy with his name, so I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, Bradley Beal. The Cavs just suffered an injury and injury-filled, riddled season. All we need is Bradley Beal, huh, to just add to that. I love Bradley Beal when he plays. He's a good player. But that dude, without even looking it up, that dude seems like he's been hurt half the season all his career. Every season, half the season. I don't know what his trade value is, honestly. I don't know if you give up. I don't know. He's still in Washington, right? He hasn't been traded from Washington yet, right?
Right. And man, I was so crushed when the Cavs missed out on him by, I think, one position in the draft. If I recall correctly, the Cavs ended up the number 4 pick that year. And Bradley Beal, I believe, went number 3. I'm going to go back and do some live math. But I just remember being so crushed when they missed out on him, because it was just like, oh, instant scorer, plug him in immediately, 26 points per game. And yeah, he's been a guy I've always like lusted after the Cavs missed out on by one slot.
You got that right, by the way. That 2012 NBA draft, 1 and 2 were 2 Kentucky kids, Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Wow, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, that is a name I haven't heard in ages. 3, Bradley Beal. 4, Dion Waiters to the Cavs. So looking back at that draft, though, that is. It wasn't a good draft. Damian Lillard, so going by total points from that draft, 2012, Damian Lillard, top scorer, Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal, Chris Middleton, Harrison Barnes, and then you drop all the way down to Andre Drummond at 6. That is not a good draft to have a top 4 pick, and the Cavs had a top 4 pick that year. Well, no, my bad. It's not a good draft to have the number 4 pick, and the Cavs had the number 4 pick that year.
Right. There's some stinkers up there, man.
That draft only has 4-5 players that have scored 10,000 points. That's crazy.
Jeez. So I guess
the Anthony Bennett draft, was that the following year, 2013? That it was. Anthony Bennett goes 1 in the Cavs, and Giannis goes mid-first round. Damn it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The sick thing about that Giannis number 15, I just saw a clip of the Toronto Raptors president of basketball operations. His name is escaping right now, but very famous guy. He runs the entire organization from a basketball ops standpoint. And he was on trying to trade up for Giannis as Giannis fell to like 13, 14, trying to get up to him and didn't get any. there was some live footage of like him called and the team was just like, no, we're taking him. He's like, damn. So it was pretty sweet little look into the draft room.
I know the Cavs get made fun of for taking Anthony Bennett, and they should, but you can't say that they missed out on Giannis if you're a Cavs fan or if you're trying to make fun of the Cavs. 14 other teams missed out on Giannis too. If you go back and look at pictures of Giannis back when he was drafted, man, I hope Evan Mobley grows muscle and strength like Giannis does, because he is going to be an absolute beast in like 3-4 years. I love Giannis, by the way, on and off the court. He seems like a great dude. His press conferences are always funny. He's a top 3 player in the NBA. I'm not saying that I'm a Milwaukee fan, but Giannis is so easy to root for. And I'm looking at 2013 draft. I guess 10,000 point scorers aren't, unless this 2013 draft class is bad too. 2013 only has 2 10,000 point scorers, Giannis and CJ McCollum. Then it drops all the way down to Dennis Schroeder, Tim Hardaway, and Victor Oladipo. So maybe these 10,000 point scorers and draft classes aren't as big as I thought they would be. I don't know.
Glen Oaks grad.
I played against our
boy CJ,
by the way. I think we talked about the last podcast.
Oh yeah,
talk about skinny. Thing. Talk about skinny back in the day. Go, if you're listening to us, whether it's live or in podcast form, Google CJ McCollum Glen Oak. You will laugh hysterically.
And he grew what, like a foot from his freshman year to, I mean, when he went to Lehigh, I mean, he was not a tall guy either in high school. He was little.
Yeah. There was a reason only Lehigh, obviously, I mean, he led Lehigh to a big, I don't know how far they went in the NCAA tournament, but I know they upset Duke, but yeah, he had his growth spurt really late. I'm excited for the draft. Oh my gosh, if the Cavs had gotten top four pick, NBA Twitter would have exploded, and I would have loved every second of it. But I'm still fine with 14. I think Kobe and company, like I said earlier, I think they can still find, hopefully, someone, whether someone drops to them or just they know who they like at 14 that they know will be there. I just hope they can get someone that can be a key, not a key contributor, but like a good role player and find his role and niche in this team. And I'd love for it to be a 3-and-D guy. We can talk about some names, I guess. I guess this is the point when we talk about names. We're not going to go in depth. That's for later on. We'll have like two or three podcasts before the draft itself, but in mock drafts. So NBADraft.net has the Cavs selecting. They actually have the Indiana Pacers selecting this guy, but I think it's just like a little mess up in the system. Jalen Duran from Memphis, power forward center, which is interesting. 6'11", 250, freshman. I legitimately know nothing about that guy, but it's interesting that they have him going big again. I guess it would be a back. I mean, the Cavs need a backup center, but I think they need to win way more than that. And then the Ringer has the Cavs selecting Dyson Daniels at 14 from G League Ignite. And like Seth and I both said, we don't know many of these prospects. I know the top guys. I know the Big Ten guys and like Bancaro and Chet Holmgren. I don't really know guys that are going to go 14 unless their name is Malachi Branham. So we'll get into those guys. But anything to say about like potential guys at 14, Seth? I know we don't have to get in depth, like I said.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing that comes to mind is in terms of available minutes for the rotation, you know, it's like it's shooting guard or small forward. I think that's going to be the easiest path for a rookie to come in and start playing right away. I think if they were looking for that scoring guy, I think your boy from Ohio State, Branham, right? I mean, he's got to be up there for who might be there, as well as, you know, bring some of what the Cavs need. I don't know, Josh, how good he might be or how limited he might be defensively, but I think offensively, right? He's the type of guy you might want.
We won't talk about his defense right now.
He's got a few weeks to work out and show teams he has those capabilities. Though,
I mean, offensively, he was I think he led Big Ten freshman in 3-point percentage. He went from like a hopefully this guy's good. I mean, there's a reason why he's a one and done player, even though literally as an Ohio State fan, I did not think he was to be one and done, especially in like the first month or two of the season. He went from like a good role player to a guy that Ohio State relied on. And I mean, besides EJ Liddell, who's also could be there most likely be there at 14. Malachi Branham was Ohio State's best player. They went as far as EJ and Malachi Branham took them, especially. But I mean, a freshman, he's from St. V, obviously home of LeBron James. We all know that. I'd be fine with, like, because he still has a lot to grow into. I'd be fine with taking a chance on him just because what he can do offensively, and you just hope that he learns like better defense, whether it's as a team. But then again, college defense is so much different than NBA too, whether it's like different rules or a bigger court or whatever it is. But I don't want to sound like your homer. I know Andrew Schnitke in our Discord said the same thing because we're both Ohio State fans. I would be perfectly fine with with the Cavs taking Malachi Branham from Ohio State at 14. Perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, what is he? I mean, he's 6'5". He's got like a 6'10 wingspan. He's got, I don't know, the few times I watched Ohio State, he kind of has that type of game. It's a little CJ-esque where he loves the mid-range stuff, the pull-up stuff. But 6'10 wingspan, I mean, that just screams to me, hey, he's long and he can be, you know, another one of those guys that gets into the passing lane. So yeah, like you said, I don't know if I have any strong opinions, but one guy that comes to mind, hey, guy that can shoot offensively and at least has the length to be some type of wing defender. You know, we'll see what he can grow into.
That's key. Yeah, because you can't like grow longer arms. Let's be honest. If you're like that's the right. You can't grow longer arms. So the fact that he has like a 6'10" wingspan, he would probably be a two. I'm assuming he'd be a two guard in the NBA, maybe a three in a small ball lineup. But I surprisingly, we have quite a few. I wasn't even paying attention. We have quite a few comments. So let's go to Derpy Gaming. That is an interesting name. I'm assuming that's. I don't know what you're doing. I'd say trade the pick. Let's see. I don't think they'll trade it prior to the draft. That's usually not what happens. You know, that's usually not what happens in the NFL either during the offseason, except like the Eagles and Saints traded picks for next year. It was weird. But trade the pick. Hey, it's a possibility, especially if they package it up with a Caris LeVert, Colin Sexton, or Lauri Markkanen, like we said earlier. Then we have Ricky. How valuable would the pick be to trade? 14. I don't know about you, Seth. I'll let you answer this yourself. I don't think if it was like a one, like a trade, you can trade the pick for a player, you're not getting anyone significant.
Yeah. You almost hope, not to cross sports here, but you almost hope it's one of the Brown scenarios where Browns really need a corner and it's a great corner class, and Browns really need a tackle and it's a great tackle class. Like there are big guys coming off the board early, likely this draft, and the Cavs, I would think, are probably like big guy is not necessarily where they're going. So maybe this is a decent draft for a wing, but I totally agree with you. Like number 14, no matter who's on the board ahead of time, you know, last year was a historic draft. This draft is not supposed to be as good as last year's draft, if you listen to some of the college experts and scouts. So yeah, 14 is not going to be extremely valuable, but hey, you know, another chess piece for Kobe.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, if they trade the pick, it'll be with in a package with another player, or they could trade it if another team wants to jump up, and maybe they could trade it for a future first round pick, which I mean, maybe if they don't like a guy that's there at 14, trade back or trade it for a future first. That way, maybe you trade it for a future first next year. That way you keep your first round pick, hoping that you make the playoffs, because the Cavs first round pick will go to Indiana if the Cavs make the playoffs next year. And then we have Derpy Gaming again. What about Justin Lewis or Ochi? I always forget how to pronounce Ochi's last name, so I just say Ochi. Justin Lewis, I don't think he's projected to be a first-round pick. Ochi, I think I'm a big fan. For those of you that don't know, that's probably Kansas' top, one of their best, well, by far one of their best players, maybe their top player this year, and they just won it all. Ochi's one of those, definitely very good at defense. I'd be fine with Ochi at 14. And then Malachi Branham, like we said, even though you spelled his name wrong. Malachi, for those of you, because I know we're going to talk about Malachi a lot, it's Malachi with a K, but it's not a big deal. And then you spelled EJ Liddell's name wrong too the next comment.
Shame. Shame. but yeah, Ochi, I'll just comment on Ochi really quickly. I mean, the one thing I've read and heard about him is this was the year he put it all together in terms of being a shooter. Like before this year, he was really never like an adequate shooter at Kansas. And this year he kind of put it all together. And so I think you just got a question like, oh, did it just take him some time, or was this year a little bit of an outlier? And you know, there might be some regression there. So that's the one piece I've seen and read about him is, hey, he had a hell of a season. Like if you just looked at like who was the best college basketball player, he was probably up there in like top couple this year. Is it going to translate? And was it, you know, was the shooting real? I think that's going to be determined over the next couple of years.
And for those curious, the majority of the mock drafts have Ochi going anywhere from like 10 to 18. So he'd definitely be a real possibility at 14 for the Cavs. And if you have any questions about Ochi, by the way, Todd Derry from the Waiting for Next Year's Derry Brothers Tribecast. No, my bad. Guardians cast. Damn it. He is a huge Kansas fan. So if you have any questions, I don't know his Twitter handle off the top of my head. I think it's TD Guardians KU. So TD for Todd Derry, Guardians, and then KU for Kansas University. Ask him. He'll know every. He watches every single Kansas game every minute, every second. So if you have any, maybe we'll have him on in the next 5 weeks if it's looking more realistic that Ochi becomes a Cavalier possibly. But there's just so many different players that we can just – that's why we might – I know we've been going every other week, but with only 5 weeks left, I guess we technically only have, like, two podcasts. So maybe we'll, like, maybe not go every other week in the next few weeks. Maybe we'll somehow bring in a third podcast from something, especially with guests that we have coming on, too. And then we have another comment from Ricky. I'd be okay packaging the pick. We definitely need a shooter, and please get rid of Jetty.
Hey. Is Ricky our head coach's burner account?
Is how's this to say? Seriously, I think I haven't mentioned Jetty yet. I completely forgot about him being on the roster. I think JB did too, like you just alluded to. He was in the doghouse for whatever reason. I don't see him staying with the Cavs, especially with the way Lamar Stevens and like Dean Wade, he's gonna be back. I don't know what you can get for him. You probably have to package him up with something, but I don't see him being a Cav next season. Just saying.
And Ricky just said JB here, so we got you, Ricky. We're all over you. Wow. I can see your
JB. I see it.
Can see I'm your so IP glad. Address.
I'm so Rocket glad Mortgage. JB listens into the Cavs cast.
But yeah, I mean that there's no denying that Osman is a contract that the Cavs probably want to improve on. I mean, he's making a little chunk of money. He's making some money next year. I'll have to look it up. I think it's in the high single digits, if not very low double digits. He's making some cash. So based on them not playing him last year towards the end and JB not really trusting him, like we've seen enough now where he's not JB's type of guy. So I think it's very possible that Osman is traded this offseason. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Then again, Jetty looked his best early on in the season with that second unit that was led by Ricky Rubio. So maybe if they bring back Ricky, maybe that's like a, hey, let's see what Jetty has with Ricky again. I don't know. I think
– true.
I mean, let's be honest. In the playoffs, though, we're talking about like the 10th guy off the bench. So I don't think it's really anything to worry about. You're just going to – if you're a good organization, you just like replenish those guys in that part of the roster, I guess you'd say. When Jetty's shooting well from three, he's good, but then that's – I mean, I like Jetty. I really do, but he didn't provide much besides shooting, and when he wasn't shooting well, that was that. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why, besides being in the doghouse, why he didn't play much down the stretch of the final stretch of the season.
And Josh, I have a question for you, which I think is a decent one based off of who, you know, just you scanning through some of these mock drafts. Would you prefer to draft a guy, if we're just talking about the wing position, a three or four, would you prefer, Josh, to draft a guy who has some of the tools, but, you know, shooting is his weak spot? Or would you prefer just to go, you know, go get that guy who can go get up 7-8 a game? He has some holes, maybe defensively. He's not the most athletic guy, but you know he's going to be a good shooter. He's shown that in college. Because I think, like, man, it feels like we've gone to bat on both of those sides. And, you know, I'm not done with either of those guys yet. I'm not going to say their names. People can probably guess them. But I'm conflicted on, you know, what you hope for out of this draft if they go wing. Like, do you bring in maybe the lower ceiling guy that we know can shoot, or do you take another swing and hope a kid that hasn't shown consistent shooting yet can get there?
I think the latter. Is that Isaac Okoro that you're describing?
That would be correct.
I love Isaac. Oh man, if you can just find a 3-point shot, please, Isaac, you'd be one heck of a player if you could just be a consistent 3-point shooter. But to answer your question, I think at 14, if you're going to draft a 2 or 3 wing, he has to be good at defense and or 3-point shooting. Unless somehow he's like an amazing shot creator that can create for his teammates and isn't good at threes, but is good at, I just think, I mean, with the way within the position that the Cavs are in right now, the 14th pick, if it's going to be a 2 or 3, he has to be good at shooting from three, or he has to be good at defense, preferably both. But it, I mean, it's a 14th pick, so who knows? But to answer your question, I think it's at least one of those qualities.
Yeah, and I'm biased based off what happened at the end of last year, but man, just getting someone that can make shots. I know that's it shouldn't be asking too much, but just give me a
says nice every grade. Other NBA team.
And everyone says shouldn't be that hard, right? No, it's hard. It's hard. That's why these guys are really, really good. No one wants to get rid of their wings. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a reason why literally you can never have too many good wings, both food and NBA player-wise. I mean, that's why they're so expensive too. Look in the playoffs right now. Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Luka, I guess you'd consider him a wing even though he's a guard.
Yeah.
He can do everything, so it's not a big deal. And then what team am I missing? I'm missing the team out west. Golden State. Klay Thompson's your win, but then you have Seth Curry and Jordan Poole, who, let's just put it this way, you can never have too many shot creators. And you can, and then to pair that with, you can never have too many three-point shooters if you have a really good shot creator. And all four of these teams that are still in the playoffs have both of those.
Occasionally, the wing that you draft at number 15 grows 3 more inches and gains 70 pounds and is Giannis, and he becomes the best player in the league. So I guess we got that coming for us here at some point, one of these teen drafts.
I just can't believe the way he looked when he was drafted. I mean, that's one thing to like hit a growth spurt like Anthony Davis did. For those of you that don't know, Anthony Davis was committed to Cleveland State, and then he grew like an astronomical amount, and he became one of the top prospects in his draft or in his high school class, and then that's why he went to Kentucky for a year before going to the NBA. But he was once, it's crazy to think that Anthony Davis was once committed to Cleveland State. And before we go any further, I always forget to plug our Twitter accounts for some reason. And the good thing set, Ricky just reminded me, I am George P, JORSHP, the letter P, and Seth is Seth_hoops. Seth_HOOPS. That's one thing I should do like literally 4 or 5 times a podcast, and I literally never do it. And I always think to do it prior to the podcast, but then once the podcast starts, completely out of my mind.
Oh, we're getting hoops. You're getting Ozarks. So watch for spoilers. I'll get dangerous on there on a weeknight. So be careful if you're coming over to my Twitter. It's a spot.
More like Seth_spoilers.
Spoilers. That's right.
And by the way, speaking of Seth's Twitter account, he has like 70 followers. I don't really know how. Please get him for 100.
Please.
He's a good dude. He has a brand new Guardians hat, which looks sweet. Unfortunately, my head's too big to wear hats. I wish I had a smaller head because I have so many hats. Especially that I really like that Guardians one, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You might not like the Guardians logo because it looks like they got it from art class. But the C, the way that I love that C. You can't call it like a black. I don't even know what you call it. Like scripted C. No, that's not scripted. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Epic mistake on my end on the Twitter. I'm going down a rabbit hole, but I used to have quite a few more followers and decided I got to get rid of it. So Ricky, I need some of that energy.
Ricky has those
bots. Get those bots going, dude. Yes.
Man, and then you're going to have, wait, is Ricky, is that JB Bickerstaff or is that Derpy?
I think that's JB. So
right, JB, thanks. We appreciate
We appreciate it, but also getting the playbook, man. We offense got a little stagnant in those playing games. So keep. Are you watching the playoffs? Get some of these plays in, man.
And speaking of playoffs, I mean, I know. I really wanted Milwaukee to go further, even though they just won all last year. I know a lot of Cleveland and a lot of the NBA doesn't want it to be Boston versus Golden State in the finals. Even though, I mean, let's be honest, Boston's favored to win their series, even though right now they're without Al Horford, who's in COVID protocols, and Marcus Smart for game one. Golden State's big favorites to beat Dallas in that series. So if the favorites win, it's Golden State versus Boston, which is worst case scenario for the majority of basketball fans, especially in Cleveland. But I don't know. I mean, I used to hate the Golden State. But it's hard to hate on a team that just like is so good. And I hate that they're so good. I guess I hate that they're so good more than I hate Golden State. Well, I hate Draymond, but I used to hate Steph Curry too. I know a lot of people will hate me for this, but I don't really hate Steph anymore. He's cocky. I hate how cocky he is, and I hate how he always chews on his mouthpiece. But he's so damn good and fun to watch. I never watched him in person. I love to watch him in person.
I had a hard time rooting. I mean, the performance he put on at Rocket Mortgage this year, this past season at the All-Star break was so awesome. I mean, playing with LeBron, you know, both kids from Akron, I was happy for him. It was very weird because I totally agree with you. He's like, he pissed me off when he was just draining threes against the Cavs for those 4 years. Every Christmas day, he was just sniping, but man, it was awesome. Like the way he lit up the crowd at Rocket Mortgage, it was an absolute show. So that was pretty fun.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Derpy Gaming, I'm so sorry. I meant to get to this comment earlier and I forgot. He just redid it. Derpy Gaming, comment on YouTube. What if we draft EJ Liddell from Ohio State for depth, then either sign Kevin Knox or Tyler Anderson in free agency? EJ, he'd be an interesting piece because he would be like a good big man in a small ball lineup, but he's one of those tweeners where like he's too short for a four man. But he's, I think without him going through like NBA draft, I mean, we saw the NBA draft combine and getting measurements and those kind of numbers for speed. I think he'd be too slow for a three. So he's one of those tweeners. But I don't know. I love his game. I'm going to sound like a homer again because he's another Buckeye. But if he's there, I guess, or maybe they trade back and then draft EJ, I just think that might be a little bit of a reach to draft EJ at four. Or 14, I mean, I wish it was pick 4, damn it. And then Kevin Knox or Tyler Anderson. Neither of those players excite me, to be honest. I think that's like tier 3 of NBA free agency. If you're leaning on Kevin Knox or Tyler Anderson to be your starting 3-man in the playoffs, I think you have a huge problem. And right now, I mean, I know like with the Browns, we always talk the big picture in playoffs. With the Cavs, I mean, if they don't make playoffs next year, that will be a major disappointment. So I think you have to think playoffs when you like make moves this offseason and so on. I just don't see how Kevin Knox is not even a starter. Just like I don't see him making a playoff rotation, to be honest.
No. All respect to Derpy Gaming, but man, we've seen him not be able to crack the rotation with the Knicks. I've seen him live multiple times. He's just not good. Like physically, he looks awesome. He's physically built. He's ripped. He's got good size, but he's just not good. Like he's not can't create his own shot. He's not like quick. So I don't, you know, he looks great, but he doesn't really play great. So no interest in Kevin Knox, but you know, the Cavs are going to add guys. Like I think that they're going to do way better than those couple of guys. I understand that. I think you mentioned them for depth pieces, but the Cavs are going to add some players. You know, there's going to be expectations on them this year. And they're going to go out and add some players. They think their next step is the playoffs. So they're going to get some rotation type guys on this team.
And if you think about it, I mean, the Kevin Knox role, you already have, I mean, I'm not comparing the players, but if you're talking about like depth pieces for like roster spots 10 through 12, you already have Dean Wade and Lamar Stevens that fill that like 3-man role. I guess Dean Wade's sometimes a 4, even though he shouldn't be. But why are you going to go out and get Kevin Knox and you already have 2 guys for the cheap? I know Lamar Stevens will be back. I think Dean Wade will be too. I know he tore his meniscus, but I'm talking contract-wise. But why go out and get a Kevin Knox that might not even be a guy in the playoffs when you already have Dean Wade and Lamar Stevens, I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. They already got enough of those guys.
Hey, Derpy Gaming, trade the pick to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma? No. And I don't think – I know Kyle Kuzma doesn't have a no-trade clause, but there's no shot you are going to trade Kyle Kuzma to the Cavs up. He can say he was playing around all he wants, but the amount of crap that guys talked about Cleveland, and you have to remember this too. Chemistry, team chemistry was a huge thing for the Cavs this year. And I just realized that we're on 42 minutes, by the way, when we said we're only going to go like 30-ish. But what was I saying? Oh, team chemistry was a huge thing for the Cavs this year. I mean, it was a huge reason for their success. It was a huge reason why like they loved being together. you're not going to bring in a guy like Kyle Kuzma that could, or even anyone. Yes, you want players that will help out the team on the floor, but you're not going to bring in a player that might ruin the team chemistry as well. Because if they help out, but then they ruin the team chemistry, are they really adding anything at all?
Yeah, the closest Kuz will probably come to joining the Cavs is when Evan Mobley had that saying, like, under the hoop reverse layup. It was like one of the sweetest plays all year, and then he dapped up, or Kuzma, like, dapped up Mobley. That was pretty sweet. But then, like, I think after that, he started talking shit about Cleveland. So I was like, all right, get out of here. We're done with you.
Yeah, and then his outfits, too. His pregame outfits, the one where, like, the length of his arms keep getting longer, like the more points he scores, whatever, which obviously they were never that long. But he would be a good player, honestly.
Oh, in terms of what he brings, I mean, he would have been perfect this year for the Cavaliers. He's like a better Jordan Clarkson to me. I mean, he has that scoring punch. It's just watch out when he gets hot, man. Watch out. He's definitely what they could have used this year. I have higher hopes, though. I'm hoping where this team goes. They need better wings, hopefully better than old Kuzma boy.
I just can't believe that you just compared Kyle Kuzma to Jordan Clarkson.
Was that a bad comp? I don't know. They kind of play the same to me. They're both just wild gunslingers out there.
That's true. There's not a shot that Jordan Clarkson doesn't like or take. That's for sure.
Yep.
So, but I guess, I mean, I don't really have too much else. Cavs got the 14th pick. We have 37 days to get into draft prospects because the draft is 5 weeks and 2 days from tonight, Tuesday night. So we'll get into plenty of those. NBA playoffs, they've been super fun to watch. Even as a Cavs fan, even though the Cavs aren't in them, but I think they've also proven that the Cavs, I mean, we already knew that the Cavs had some major holes, backup point guard, backup center, and a shot creating wing and more 3-point shooters. But this playoff and all the playoffs have proven just how like glaring those holes have become, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. Seth, any final thoughts before we get going here?
What you said, I 100% agree with and can't emphasize enough. What we're watching right now with Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, Dallas Mavericks, Golden State Warriors, and even the last round, these teams are real and legit. And I'll be honest, I think even at the healthiest that this Cavs team was, I don't know if they're able to compete. I know that they were in the standings, but just matchup based, I don't know if they're competing with some of these teams. So they need to add some talent, get an infusion, and I know we're wrapping up. I just want to give a shout out to this playoffs, man. I have had so much fun. Like, I was on a pretty bad low when the Cavs went out, had some expectations of them sneaking into the playoffs. So pretty bummed, but this playoffs has just been outrageously good. I mean, Giannis, no player ever in the NBA did what Giannis just did in terms of what do you have? 200 points, 100 rebounds, 50 assists. So no player ever in a series, not even LeBron 2018, who was on a whole other level, has ever gone 200 points, 100 rebounds, 50 assists in a series. It's just been an absolute pleasure, like watching this guy almost take down an extremely well balanced Boston team. It was awesome seeing Luka come out. I mean, I'd say Luka just had the best series of his entire career. He's young. He's only 23, but he just had against the Phoenix Suns, like one of those series where, I mean, I was listening to Simmons and Russillo's podcast today, and it's like, this was his like LeBron 07. I mean, it's just like, it's fun watching these guys get better, and man, NBA is just awesome. So I'm having a ball, having a great time watching the playoffs, and then coming right off the playoffs is going to be, Cavs picking 14. So I'm just excited and ready to get into some more of these guys in the next couple of pods.
The Cavs game 7, I don't know if they moved up the playoffs a little bit, but game 7 in 2016, obviously we all know it's June 19th. Is the draft really like 5 days after a potential game 7 in the NBA finals this year too?
It never felt that quick, right? But still, that's such a fast turnaround.
It seems like it's such a quick turn.
Crazy.
Like, if you make the playoffs, you obviously still GMs aren't like in the day in day out than like teams with practices and stuff, but that seems like such a quick turnaround. And before we get going, Derpy Gaming commented, I'll showcase it here. Wait, I'll doubt it happened, but is Miles Bridges a free agent? I was thinking Mikal Bridges.
Bridges, he is.
Oh, I did type in Miles Bridges.
He's due. He's due.
Yeah. Oh, he's a restricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to get way too much money on the open market. I think that he's way too much money.
Yeah, he's going to be like a near max guy. He'd be perfect. Like it would be awesome if the Cavs could get him, but you know, they can't give out alone. Right. But yeah, they're not going to have the money. He'd be awesome. I mean, there's no denying that, but yeah, they're not going to be able to afford to get him.
So yes, to answer your question, Derpy, yes, he is a restricted free agent, which means Charlotte can match any offer he's given. But he's going to get way too much money, whether it's from Charlotte or any other NBA team, for the Cavs to have a chance at him, unfortunately. But so Seth, are you good? Any more final thoughts?
No, final thought. Thanks for all the commenters, man. It was fun like being able to mix it up, answer some questions. I hope you guys will join us on the next one, man. It was fun going back and forth. Usually Josh and I are just going down our little spreadsheet here. So I appreciated you guys interacting tonight. It was a lot of fun.
We have one more comment that I just completely missed. Rick from Ricky. Are you guys big supporters of JB? Do you have faith in him? I don't have much faith in him, really. I am glad they're talking about getting an offensive coordinator type. Maybe that will help. So to answer your question, I love JB. I think maybe giving him that long-term extension was a little bit premature. It seems like the players love him, but there's a reason also that I hate talking bad about JB because I love him as a coach, but I think there's a reason why he's been fired multiple times. I know he was fired by Memphis. I think he's been with three or four teams before the Cavs. I just hope maybe this is the job that he needs. Maybe, and then like Ricky said, maybe he does need an offensive coordinator type, a guy that can, I mean, I know we didn't dissect it too much, but in the playing especially, JB didn't seem like he had a whole handle on one, rotations, and two, adjustments, especially in the second half. Maybe if they get like an assistant coach that has plenty of head coaching experience that can help JB out with both those, that would be a tremendous improvement. But to answer your question, and then I'll let Seth go, I am a supporter of JB. I hope he's the guy that can lead the Cavs to the playoffs and hopefully more. But I also do think that he needs an assistant coach that has plenty of head coaching experience that can help him out with rotations and adjustments too.
Yeah, I'll go speed round. There's two things that I think about with JB. One is culturally, I don't know if there's a better coach right now for this Cavs team, this Young's Cavs team. The players love him. Darius Garland called him like a father figure. He has everyone's respect from the youngest player to Kevin Love. The guys absolutely love playing for him. X's and O's wise, I think there's a gripe or an opportunity for him to get a lot better. And like coaches, we've seen this postseason, Jason Kidd, man, he's like emerged as this defensive savant where, you know, he got let go from two previous head coaching positions. So I think coaching takes time. I'm willing to, based on the culture stuff, I'm willing to allow him to grow into the role, but he's got to prove it. You know, I think he's got to continue to get better, just like this young team is. I think they're going to grow together. I think he's built a good foundation, but yeah, I think an offensive guru coordinator is not a bad idea whatsoever.
I agree with all your points. Culture is most important, especially this past season. I mean, if you can have Kevin Love go from a buyout guy to finishing second rookie of the year, sixth man of the year, Grandpa Kev, as many of the Cavs call him, it was clear that the Cavs loved being around each other. I know that sounds cliche, but if you love being around each other, I mean, special things are going to happen. And special things did. And the Cavs didn't make the playoffs, they only made the play-in. But they almost doubled Vegas's win projected total. So next year, hopefully JB can prove that, like, this team will. He can grow, learn new things. And like we both, Seth and I both said, and like Derpy said, or Ricky said in the comments, maybe get like the offensive X's and O's guru type as an assistant coach. I don't know. I had to look to see who's maybe like an assistant coach that the Cavs could get. But I think that would be a perfect fit for with JB. Anything else, Seth?
I was having some malfunctions. No, I'm good, man. Hell of a show, and I'm excited to run it back here and talk some of these young guys.
So Ricky and Derpy Gaming, we really appreciate you. I don't know where you guys came from. I don't know if you like search Cavs on YouTube and we're just looking for something Cavs related to watch or what, but we appreciate you guys. And for anyone else watching live, or if you listen to our podcast at a later time, always feel free to comment. We'll answer most of your questions, if not all. Yeah, thanks for watching. Especially those watching you, those of you watching us live, we appreciate it. If you're listening to a podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening to podcasts, we appreciate you as well. And that was the latest Cavscast. I guess we'll be back with you probably in a couple weeks. We'll start breaking down some potential NBA draft prospects that will be there at 14 and just talk, I guess, 2 weeks from now, it'll be NBA Finals. So talk NBA playoffs, NBA Finals, see what's going on, and just talk Cavs and the NBA draft. Until then, and as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.